what does the cross mean to you this morning? What does Calvary mean? What does the sacrifice mean?
You know, I think of a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, despised and rejected of men. A man that was handed over to people who would treat him like a criminal and pluck off his beard and spit in his face. All them things that one hymn writer said, mocking, shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. That's what the cross means, isn't it? That's what the cross, with all this despisement and all this shame, where Jesus went for us. Let us sing this here. And you know, just I'm looking at the last part of this verse, to bear it to dark Calvary. You know, there was never anywhere any darker than Calvary. In those 3 hours of darkness, it was the darkest time that ever hit this earth, when all of God's wrath was poured out on his Son. Praise God, we've escaped that wrath because of one and only one, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the cross means. Praise God. Amen. That's it.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful Savior. Lovely Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Precious, spotless, sinless Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise his holy name. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Oh, Lord, move in the name of Jesus. Oh, send the Holy Ghost, Lord. Send the fire in the name of Jesus. Bless the Lord. Come, sweet Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own special way. Oh, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, bless your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us sing that little, of course. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee just before the pastor comes, or just as he comes. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own special way. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Oh, come in thy
Let's just keep our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence, for your mercy, and for your grace. Lord, we know that you promised when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard up against him. Lord, there's only one standard, that's your word. You are the Word made flesh. Lord, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Father, I pray that your name will be uplifted, glorified, exalted in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, that you'll move in every person under this roof in the name of the Lord. Pray, Lord, for Ben this morning, Lord, this accident last night. I pray you'll touch him, heal him, deliver him, save him. We plead your precious blood upon him. Lord, that everything will be able to be fixed and come back to normal. We call for it in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke every devil, every demon, every spirit of witchcraft, every spirit of divination and divination. We rebuke every antichrist spirit this morning. And we pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, touch your people. Deliver us from the scarecrow. Lord, from everything that would waste our time. Help us to focus on you. Help us not to be distracted, Lord, but to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Keep us where you brought Paul, in a place called Straight. Keep us in Straight Street. In the name of Jesus, I pray. For Lord, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many that go therein are. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost right now, and I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for those in this house that need your healing touch. I rebuke every infirmity of the devil in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for your miracle healing power to come upon your people in Jesus Christ's name. Touch me on the island right now. Visit her. Oh God, touch her. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, I ask for those that said they're going to give up. Lord, that the Holy Ghost will move on them, that the Holy Ghost will speak to them. God, that you'll turn them again and bring them again in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, bless this meeting, we pray, as we look to you. Bless Brother John this morning, wherever he's preaching, and Brother Frank. And oh God, be with us here as we look to you, meet every need in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And I want you to do something. Shake hands, whoever's beside you, and say, all's not like it seems. All's not like it seems. Glory. Hallelujah. The devil's a liar. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. You know, Margaret, in Switzerland, used to get a hold of me and say, Brother Tom, we need to pray because this is an attack of the devil. And I tell you, she knew how to pray, and she used to get a hold of me to pray. And God even lowered a lake. What do you think of that? He lowered a lake. It doesn't lower. God lowered it. And she went back that evening. People threw everything in the lake. She couldn't get it out of it. God lowered the lake like a sea going out, but the lake doesn't go out. But this one went out. And she walked in dry ground, got everything back out of it. Then it filled back up again. That was because of prayer. Amen. God is real. The devil wants to decoy people in this room. And he wants you to be so focused on the wrong thing that you're not looking at the right thing. But God wants you to look at him. Amen. Look at him. Yes. You don't need to look at anything else. I have had accusations nailed against me even recently. And I just want to say this morning, I'm not interested what I'm in, but I'm interested what's in me.
Amen.
Now, I want you to get that. You might be in certain movements or organizations, but if they're in you, if Jesus Christ is in you, he's the hope of all glory. Amen. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You can belong to whatever you want and be dead and on your way to hell. But when you've got Jesus, you've got life, and that more abundant life. Amen. Praise God. Let's turn to John's Gospel. And you know, I still haven't had the time to prepare what I want to prepare. And yesterday I took time and I got something ready. And then this morning changed my mind and had notes on sermons I'd preached before. I thought it was good what Brother Frank told Brother John in Australia. John wanted to preach the sermon the second time, but he wasn't sure where to do it or not, because he had an idea you can't preach the same sermon twice. But Frank says, John, if it wasn't worth preaching the first time, it's not worth preaching the second time. But if it was good the first time, it's worth preaching again. And I tell you, the gospel was good 2,000 years ago. And it's still good this morning, no matter how many times you preach it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God for it. Let's turn to John 18. And quite a few verses. And I want to talk about revelations in the garden. And I didn't go on and listen to everybody preaching over Easter, because I hadn't got the time to do it. I just flicked through some things. And I thought, what would I preach? What would I have preached over Easter? There's a lot of things preached that I wouldn't have preached over Easter. But I'd have preached what Easter's all about. And you cannot preach about Easter without preaching about Jesus. That's what it's all about. And I tell you, I believe God showed me this. Sometimes as preachers, we want to have some big sermon. And we miss the point at hand. And we think, well, they know it, and it's so simple, and we know it, and we don't bother with it, and we want to have some big thing, and it can be a flop. But I'll tell you, Jesus has never flopped. Sure he's not. Praise God. The Lord bless you. Let's read this. You may have seen it, because it's quite a reading this morning. Praise God. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron. There was a garden into which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. And Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons, so they're coming at dark. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto him, I am. Now I know our Bible says he, many of the scholars believe he wasn't in the original. Now whether it was or it isn't, that's not important. But the one thing's important, they've come in contact with I am. And another thing, this band of soldiers that came, many Bible students and many Bible scholars believe that a band of soldiers could be 500 men. 500 soldiers. Now, I don't know if it was 500 or not, what they sent to get Jesus. I don't know how many it was, but this is what's believed. A band of soldiers is a lot of soldiers, and they came to get Jesus. Verse 7 says, as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. Every one of them fell. This is the only place in the Bible where I can see the fallen. Now I know we have lots of preachers, and I'm not going to name any of them. The Lord bless every one of them. I don't say it's real or false, but they blow on people and they fall out of chairs and they say receive it, send fire and all that stuff. But only the only one that I can see in the Bible that ever made people fall was Jesus. And he's the only one that I ever know about and ever will know about that can say I am he.
Amen. Boy.
I want you to know that there's no prophet, there's no pastor, there's no teacher, there's no apostle, there's no pope in Rome this morning, and that ever was in Rome, that could say, I am he. But I want you to know that this man could say, I am he, because he was. This is the same one that stood with Moses up on the mountain and appeared to Moses. And Moses says, they don't know you by any name. And what name are they going to know you by? And what name am I going to go to them on? And he says, you're going to go and say, I am he. And I want to tell you, you can meet with a church or a church system and it'll do absolutely nothing for you. But if you ever come in contact with I am he, you'll never be the same again. You'll be changed. You, matter of fact, you'll be transformed. Because the Bible says you'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus, and old things will pass away. I want to tell you, I am he's power to save. I am he's power to heal. I am he's power to fill with the Holy Ghost. And he's coming again for his people. And I don't know if there's 500 soldiers or 12 soldiers or many soldiers, but I want you to know this morning when he said, I am he, that they fell backward to the ground because the power of God was all over them. Hallelujah. He just come from a prayer meeting, and we talk about a Holy Ghost prayer meeting, but there was no Holy Ghost prayer meeting like Jesus' prayer meeting in the garden because he prayed great sweat drops of blood so that we could be saved. And I don't care what preacher can ridicule this preacher, but there's no other important message in all of my Bible than this message of Jesus Christ. Because this is the only name whereby you can be saved, is the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other name given under heaven whereby man can be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. And when you call on that name, you're saved. And you're not saved for a week or a month. You're saved for all time. You're saved for all eternity. There's salvation in that name. And there's healing in that name. And there's deliverance in that name. Because that name is far above. Far above every other name. That name's more power than every devil, every demon, every sickness, every disease. And I want you to know that he took my sins and he took my sicknesses and he took my sorrows and my pain and my suffering on the cross. He took it on his own self. No other prophet could do what Jesus done. He stood in my room. He stood in my stead. He became my substitute. And there's no other substitute like this substitute. He not only bore my sins, but he bore the sins of the whole world. And unto them that look for him will he appear the second time without sin on the salvation. He's coming again. He's coming for you. Coming for you. You're only here for a season. Praise God. As soon as they said it, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. Therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which you speak of them which thou gavest me. I have lost none. I want to tell you, sister, this morning, the Lord will not lose you. I want to tell you, brother, this morning, the Lord will not lose you. I want to tell you that Jesus paid the price for you and for me, and you cannot be lost. It's impossible for you to be lost, for all that are mine shall come to me, and none that thou hast given me have I lost any. I know there's churches this morning that preach and saved and lost. I know there's churches preaching when we straighten ourselves out, the rapture will take place. Well, I want you to know that's all pure rubbish. Yes, to the highest degree. Because my Bible says that no man knoweth the day nor the hour wherein he'll come, only the Father. And I want you to know that Jesus won't be sounding bells before second coming. Because my Bible says Jesus is coming at the thief in the night. He's going to come when you least expect it. And he's going to take his people to this earth. And there's going to be a catching up and a catching away. And we're going to go to be with the Lord. And things will continue on here as normal. But the bride of Jesus Christ will be gone out of this scene of time. Changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. And so shall he ever be with the Lord. I tell you, all our loved ones that went on before us. Them bodies that were in them graves is coming out. They're coming out. And they're coming in. And they're coming up. Hallelujah. And I tell you, we need to come out. We need to come in. And then we're going to hear, come up. Come out, come in, come up. And I tell you, it's the Lord that brings us out. It's the Lord that brings us in. And it's the Lord that's going to say, come up hither. Hallelujah. The same God that said to Noah, get into the ark. Noah stepped in the ark. And that door had to be closed from the outside, and it never closed for 7 days. But on the seventh day, God closed it. God closed it. And I want you to know that Noah was sealed in, and the world was sealed out. There's not one thing that the Pope of Rome or any of the priests of Rome can do but the dead this morning. Not one thing. Praying to the dead is a spirit of necromancy. We are forbidden to do it. But I want to tell you that somebody that is in Jesus is not dead. The body's just sleeping. But they're alive and well, and they're in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And they're going to be raised. Raised. Incorruptible. Undefiled. Praise God. I wasn't meant to preach none of this. I haven't even got the note yet. Hallelujah. I'm excited. You don't know the half of it. I tell you, when I went to bed last night, I didn't even think I'd be preaching this morning. I had swollen glands yesterday when I went to preach. I got on the pulpit at 10 to 9 last night and preached, and God moved. God touched people. I came home and the glands were swollen again. The devil said this, he said that, and I said, you're a liar. They're all symptoms. But I know who made my body. The same man that took a lump of dust and he made Adam from the clay. Hallelujah. And he breathed in him and he became a living soul. And if he breathes in you, the miracle power of God can go through you and you'll be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Our God's able to do it. We need to believe God. I thank God for every doctor's report. But I'm not worried about a doctor's report. I'm looking at the report of Isaiah 53. Of 2 Peter 2:24, he his own self bare my sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. I'll tell you, God's servant said the right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. I better get to this message. It's 12 o'clock already. Might be 2 o'clock today. I'm just joking. You don't be panicking. Spuds will not burn. Verse 10, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the servant. Boys, Rock always loved this bit. Rock loved this. When he took the sword out. Praise God. And he took the servant sword and he drew it out. And he smote the high priest's servant, cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up the sword into the sheath. And the cup which the Father hath given me, shall I not drink it. Now I want you to know that Jesus put his ear back on him. I want you to get that. You can read it in other scriptures. Jesus put the ear back on this Malchus. Malchus got an ear cut off because he stepped forward too quick. And the Lord had a zealous disciple called Peter. And Peter didn't know all about moving out of the flesh and in the spirit at that point. So he moved in the flesh and he cut his ear off. And the Lord fixed his ear back on. But I want you to know that's the same Peter in Acts 2 that's filled with the Holy Ghost, and preachers of Pentecostal fire, and people get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the same Peter at the gate called Beautiful, where the man's raised, is crippled. That's the same Peter. I tell you, thank God for the Peters. That's the same Peter that got out of the boat and walked in the water, and they might have said he sunk, but the rest of them never chanced it. They sought for the word. But he was fit to get out. Amen. Amen. Yes. People's quick to condemn you when you don't do it right or the right way, but they'll never do it themselves. But you step out in faith and you do it. And I tell you, he might have sunk, but he said, Lord, save me. And the Bible says immediately Jesus lifted him. Yes. I want you to know that the Lord never carried him back to the boat. But I believe he walked back with the Savior on top of the water. Hallelujah. I've often dreamed about walking on top of water. And I'm not joking about that. I mean it. Dreamed about flying as well. As a thought, just going wherever I want to go. And there is a day coming when we'll travel like a thought. Amen? And I tell you, the power of Jesus could come on you that you could walk on water. And I want you to know, when you think of what Jesus could do, you cannot compare him to any other human being that was ever born of a woman. He could walk on water. He could open the eyes of the blind. He could cleanse a leper. Hallelujah. That's what our Lord's able to do. Far above what we can think or even ask. In every circumstance in which Jesus Christ was placed, somehow or other became an occasion for further revelation of his wondrous character. Everything you read, you say, brother, I've heard about it before and listened to it before, but I'll guarantee you, you go back and read it again, you'll get something different. Because the revelation keeps on folding. Amen. Keeps bursting out. Hallelujah. Wherever he was, he's a unique personality. I want to tell you that Jesus is a unique personality. And he could not be hid. In these few verses, we see some rays of his heavenly glory breaking through. In verse 2, it's habit of prayer. Jesus had a habit of prayer. Every one of us should have a habit of prayer. If we call ourselves Christians, that's the Father of Christ. And I'm proud to be a Christian. There's a whole lot of names I wouldn't want to be associated with. But I'm glad to be associated as a Christian. You not? A follower of Jesus Christ. We should have a habit of prayer. We should have times when we pray. And when we don't feel like praying, we should say to the devil, you know something, I'm going to pray anyhow. That's what you should do. He'll stop you if he can. But I tell you, when the weakest of the weak begin to pray, old W.P. Nicholson says your doorbell, well, back then the knocker on the door will be gone. Somebody will be looking at you that you haven't seen for months. You'll never hear tell of them until you start praying. And as soon as you start praying, as soon as God starts to work on you, and you'll find as well if you take sick, you'll never have to ask for Job's comforters that lock your door. Hallelujah. They'll be fit to tell you why God can't do it no more. That's from the time when you need to say, I'm very busy. Yes. I have no time for Job's comforters this morning. I'm very busy. I have an appointment. You say, Brother Tom, it's a lie. No, it's no lie, because you have an appointment with Jesus. Yeah. Go in and have it. Yeah. Make yourself a wee cup of tea and get round the table and talk to the Lord about it. Tell him everything about it. Tell him all our troubles. Amen. He'll listen. And he'll answer you. Judas knew the place. Jesus oft times resorted thither. He knew his place of prayer. He went with them many times. Though Christ was possessed with a spirit of prayer, he believed also in the place of prayer. Now he was filled with the spirit of prayer, for the Holy Spirit was in him in absolute fullness. But he knew the place of prayer. And in a special place of prayer, for he went. And I tell you today, we need to have a place of prayer, a meeting house of prayer, for we can go and pray. And we read of Spurgeon and all these great men, that meeting places of prayer, for they regularly prayed, for they meant to pray. It's Jesus had it. Now I want to challenge you this morning, if Jesus needed to pray, we need to pray. And if Jesus had a place of prayer, we need to have a place of prayer. And I'm not just talking about your church meeting, but in your home, you should have a place of prayer. Might even be in your car. You might like to go out in your car and go away and pray. Some people do that. Other people like to go for a walk. And you know, James McConnell is a perfect example. James McConnell wasn't just walking to keep fit. He was walking to pray. And he walked for miles during the troubles. The police followed him and tried to lift him. And he was praying. And he used to walk the roads and pray. He walked and prayed. But he had a place of prayer. I want you to know this morning, none of this message is planned. I can guarantee you that. I can show you my notes. But I'm preaching this anyhow because I'm feeling led to do it. God must want us to hear it. See, when one gets familiar with the sounds, the mind is more free for intercourse. Isn't that the truth? The unseen and the eternal, in matters of frequent praying, as well as suffering, sinless Son of God. I'm going to have to take my jacket off. It's warm in here. Heard of a preacher one time, he took his coat off and he threw it and the Holy Ghost was on him and it hung right on the hook. Not tried yet. Here's another thing about him in verse 4. His knowledge of the future. He had knowledge of the future. I want you to know that every prophet in the Bible can have knowledge of the future when God gives them it. They're seers, the prophets of God. A prophet is God's mouthpiece. But I want you to know that this prophet here is both prophet, priest, and king. And he knows what's going to happen in the future. Not just in the world events, but in your life, in my life. He knows everything that's taking place. He knows everything that you're going through. He knows every bombardment of the devil that the devil's bringing upon you. And he says, I've prayed for you. I have prayed for you. Jesus has prayed for you. You're going to be an overcomer. Brother, I don't feel like it. That weak humanite woman, I preached it last night again. It wasn't recorded here the morning I preached it. I know God gave me that message. And I preached it last night. She said, all's well. Her son was lying dead and she said, all's well. God hid it from his prophet Elisha. And he never showed him. Then he eventually saw it. And he says it was hid from me. But it wasn't hid from God. What did he get that? Sometimes prophets don't know everything, but God knows everything. And sometimes it can be hid from the preacher or the prophet, but God can see it. And maybe the pastor doesn't know everything you're going through, but God knows everything you're going through. And don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord's with you. For he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He says, I'm with you always, even to the end. How many years is it now when you claimed him as your Savior? You claimed him. You claimed him as your Savior. You told other people about it. You testified about it. I've got saved. I believe in the Lord. Now I want you to claim him as your healer. Just as you claimed him as your Savior, I want you to claim him as your healer. I want you to say the Lord's healed me by stripes on the cross 2,000 years ago. The medical report might say different, but his report says I'm healed. His report says if they lay hands on the sick, they recover. His report says if the elders anoint with oil, the prayer of faith will save the sick and they'll be raised up. Let me tell you this morning. Me and Brother Ewell heard a wonderful testimony last night. There's a man and he races stock cars and he's not even saved. And he had a massive crash in a stock car and they rushed him down to the ambulance, to the hospital, and his whole hip was crushed away, smashed completely away, and they couldn't do nothing with him in the Royal and the best hospitals here. They went from Craigavon to the Royal. They couldn't fix him up.
and they sent for a specialist over in England. The specialist in England says, I don't think we'll be able to fix this. We'll have to take the leg right off and then fix it on, or it'll just be hanging on him. But there's two men went and laid hands on him and prayed for him in the name of Jesus. And he came back down to see the specialist again. And he says, I better take the crutches just to make it look good. And they've come into the specialist and the crutches, and the specialist says, can you put any weight on your leg? And of course he stood on the bad leg and he put his hand out like that to the specialist, and the specialist almost fainted. And he said, I think I better x-ray you again. And he x-rayed him again, and there was no breakages, and there was no smashed hip, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with him, and he's not even saved. I'll tell you, when there's faith in God, God can do it. You see, William Branham's original commission was praying for the sick. The angel didn't come to him and tell him to do this or do that or do the yonder. He said, you are sent with the gift of healing to the nations. You will pray for kings and monarchs, and not even cancer will stand before your prayers if you get the people to believe. And people must believe the word of God, and they must confess the word of God, and they must speak it out as a confession of faith. Amen. That they believe it. Speak those things, Paul says, that are not as though they were. Speak them out. And God's word's got the creative power. Jeremiah says he watches over his word to perform it, to bring it to pass. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that were coming, and he went forth, and he knew that all things that were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished, for the scripture must be fulfilled. Luke 18:31. And he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. I'm going to put a challenge to every one of you, and you cannot deny what I'm going to tell you. There's not one preacher or prophet in all of this Bible, but somewhere along the track, they felt they never fulfilled everything they're meant to do for God. Is that the truth? That, how many knows that's the truth? Every one of them somewhere failed. And every one of them from their mouth said, I should have did this and this, but I failed. I listened to man. I did this wrong or that wrong. But here the Lord Jesus Christ never failed at one thing that the Father gave him. But my Bible says every single thing was accomplished by him. Never failed. And I tell you this morning, you can't look at some earthly man. I don't care how good he is, brother or sister, he'll let you down. I could let you down in the morning. I could want to do something and maybe something could happen and I can't do it. But I want to tell you, Jesus will never let you down. Jesus will never forsake you. Jesus accomplished everything. I want to tell you, he doesn't have to come back and come onto the cross again. He doesn't have to come back and be put in a tomb again. But I want you to know that Brown that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. And I want you to know he wears a royal crown upon his head this morning. And I want you to know that every single true believer is going to receive a crown of unfading glory that feels not away from where priests and kings unto our God. There's a crowning day coming. There's a hymn sings that, you know. There's a hymn sings it. There's a crowning day coming by and by. We're going to receive a crown, brother. Keep on going. Our knowledge of the future must be derived from the same source. It's only God can show us. Amen. God's in some dry times and diverse manners spake in times past through the prophets. What's the rest of it say in Hebrews? But in these last days has spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus Christ, because everything's accomplished. I want you to know there's no mistakes in this Bible. You could read a book of a man of God and there could be faults in it. I don't care who he is. He could make a mistake in the numbering. He could make a mistake in the counting. And he mightn't even know he's done it. But I want you to know that Jesus couldn't even make a mistake. Did you say he couldn't make a mistake? That's exactly what I said. Because he was God manifested in flesh. Every step, every prayer, every person he touched, does the Bible say, all was written that Jesus done. The whole world couldn't contain it. The books that would have to be written. And you look at the books that's been written. Look at the sermons men of God have preached by the thousands. And there's more. I want you to see in verse 5. And I'm going to have to close and I'll not even get this finished. Not even get it started. I'm on a path. I'm more determined than ever. I know what God anoints. And I know what he doesn't anoint. And there's a lot of stuff preached that's not anointed. But I'll tell you, when you preach about Jesus Christ, it'll be anointed. It will be anointed. Hallelujah. May God keep us in our calling. I cannot go in another man's. And he can't go in mine. We have to be ourselves. Here's another thing. His confession concerning himself. I am he. Now finish in this wee bit. Finished this morning, but I won't be finished. They declared that they were seeking Jesus of Nazareth. He confessed that he was the Nazarene. The reproach had been associated with a name, and he willingly accepts it and bears it. He received a reproach for the name. Over the centuries, Christians have received a reproach for the name. They've been burned at the stake. They've been sawn asunder. They've received a reproach for the name. And Jesus received a reproach for the name. And did the apostles receive a reproach for the name? They didn't say to the apostles, here, boys, don't talk no more about that group. You never once hear that. But this is what you hear. We forbid you to preach in the name of Jesus. We forbid you to teach in the name of Jesus. And they led many stripes on them because they preached and taught Jesus. Is that the Bible? And they said, whether it pleased man or not, and the backs beat off them and the whip, and they're dying as far as a man can be dying. But they said, we're going to keep on preaching Jesus. And it mightn't suit some people that Tommy McKinstry preaches the cross. And preaches the resurrection. And preaches about Jesus. And studies about Jesus. But he's going to keep on preaching it. Because that's what God's called him to preach. I want you to know some years ago, Mark's dad was in the meetings. I remember the morning well. And I believe I had a visitation from the Lord. And he said to me, Tommy, I want you to preach more on Jesus. What are you going to do with that? If you believe God speaks to you, and I was preaching Jesus, but he was concerned that I wasn't preaching it enough. So I decided from that moment that I would preach more about it. So don't try and stop me, because I'm only getting started. And I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach it, because he told me to preach it. And I know it's a saving name. It's a healing name. God's prophet at the end time, what did he say? He said, don't look at me. He said, I'm just your brother. But I point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say, I point you to William Branham. John didn't say, I'm pointing you to John. John said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I must decrease, he must increase. John pointed to Jesus. William Branham pointed to Jesus. Wigglesworth, all the men of God, they pointed to Jesus. But some devils have arisen, for that's what they are. And they want you to point to something else. But I'm not having it. Tell you that right now. I'm not having it. And I have no time for it. And if it puts me out of the circle, so be it. Because I'm not worried what I'm out of. I'm worried who's in me. And I want you to know when Jesus brings you in, that no devil can ever put you out. Because the book of Ephesians says you are sealed by the Holy Ghost unto the day of redemption. I tell you, it was, where is the despised and rejected one? He answered, I am he. The solemn I am he. Of the Son of God. He's looking. In just a moment, and I'm going to close. What about the I am this morning? Sure, you could preach a whole sermon on it. I am the true vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Where could you go? For he said, it's finished. Where else could you go? What about I am? It goes on and on and on. Then there's the unchangeableness about the I am. Men change, their doctrines change. But an organization, we know the prophet told us that the Lutherans started well, the Wesleys started well. The original truth they had is still truth. But the organization denominated and God moves right on. Everything can start well, but it might not finish the way it started. But Jesus doesn't change as he goes on. He doesn't age. He doesn't defy. His blood doesn't congeal or dry up and wither away. But he's the same. And he said, I am the very present help in the time of trouble, the unchanging one. The same God that stood with Moses said, I am, is the same one this morning. What's he say to you, sister? What's he say to you, brother? Says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, but the report. Here's a report. This is my report. This is a report I'm looking at. My mother can bear me record this morning. This is the truth. Some of you won't know for you weren't there. That's the thing about it. But when I was a wee boy, I took really ill. My grandmother was a great woman. I believe that. I had the privilege to baptize her in her 70s on my grandfather. It was a real blessing to do it. She's a great wee woman. She said to my dad, she said, Billy, you need to go and get a doctor for Tommy, because he's bad, really bad. And I'd failed away and wasn't feeding, and I was young. And my father got in the car to go to get the doctor. And he was going along the road and thinking about how he preached and healing, and he'd seen cancer. Cancers healed on people. And he turned the car and he come back. And his mother said, well, Billy, did you get the doctor? And he said, no. The Lord's going to heal him. And I'm here this morning. Here this morning. I tell you, God's real. God is real. It's the same with the gifts. I hear so many people saying, oh, but I never really heard the real thing. Well, I have. I've heard lots of the real thing. So the false doesn't bother me at all. It's only chaff from the summer threshing floor. He's I am. Amen. He's always I am, unchangeable. There's also nearness about it. I am beside you. I want you to know that I'm always with you. I want you to know I'll never leave you. I tell you, never be afraid, no matter what you go through, even if death itself comes. Look at our brother Andrew. 17 times his heart stopped, but the Lord still brought him back. And if he had a wet, he'd have been with the Lord. There's a touch of eternity about this, isn't there? I am. Eternally great I am. I'm going to come to a close this morning. I haven't preached nothing what I plan to preach. I'll be honest with you. And I stayed late this morning. I was late here because I was in the office. But I believe the Lord wanted to say what was said. Let's stand our feet this morning. I'm going to pray for you this morning. Praise God. I want you to believe a change is coming in your life. A breakthrough. God can give breakthroughs. I can testify to you this morning about things, but I'm not going to do it because it says it's just a possible. No, well, see, familiarity is a bad thing. I could tell you a great testimony, and you mightn't think much of it because you know Tommy. But another fella could tell you it, and you'd skip around the room. That's a true familiarity. But let's never be familiar with the Lord. I want you to believe God this morning. God will touch you. Lila Malkinson, father, had cancer on his face. Cancer on his face. Lila Malkinson got saved. Lila Malkinson's father was a big, strong man, McMullen. And he stopped with the neighbours heading into the town at Drumore. And he told every one of them, when I get into the town tonight, I'm going to bait that preacher from the south of Ireland. Take his teeth out. For he's my daughter led astray, this Pentecostal stuff. This saved stuff. And he headed into the town of Drumore to get the preacher a hiding. The preacher was from the south. And you remember a preacher from the south in this country years ago. If you'd have heard the southern accent, everybody would have been looking because of the troubles and everything back in them days. And he got to that meeting and he got saved. Glory! Isn't that great? He got saved! And he had cancer on his lip. And he took a handkerchief and he took it off his lip and the Lord healed him. God healed him. I tell you, God's real. Brother, when we were in Kenya, it was me and Brother Dixon and two other brothers. They brought a woman in a wheelchair and they gave her hours to live, dying with cancer. And the water was running on the floor. And the Holy Spirit pronounced her, even before they brought her through the door, for the gifts of the Spirit pronounced her what she was there and that God would heal her. And the Lord healed her right there and then. And she wheeled the wheelchair out. God's able to do anything. I want you to believe the Lord this morning. Don't you worry about me. The Lord's here. He's the one that'll do it. Let's lift your hand if you have a need. Let's close our eyes. And this morning, just before Brother Gary comes to close, and if you have a need this morning, and I tell you, if you have a financial need, God can do it. God works miracles for money. You know, the Lord, when he was here, needed a bit of money. He said to the disciple, go you down, see the first fish that comes up, he'll get the money in his mouth. What do you think of that one? Isn't that amazing? Heavenly Father, you know everything this morning, every person in this room. Lord, I know your presence is here. Father, I'm asking for the hands raised. Lord, you know every single need upon your people. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, that you'll confirm your word this morning with signs and divers miracles of the Holy Ghost in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Stretch thy arm forth upon that brother, upon that sister, upon that boy, that girl. In the name of Jesus Christ, do for them what they need this morning. Heal them, deliver them, meet the financial need, multiply the finances, press down and run it over the top. More than enough in Jesus' precious name. Father, if somebody has said they're going to quit, may you give them the spirit of stickability and make them an overcomer, that they'll go forward and say, like Joshua and Caleb, we're more than able to do it. Bless your people now. As your brother comes to lead the song, bless your brother Gary. Bless his wife, his family. Lord, we're so glad for all these young people playing these instruments, and for Sister Alvin, her brother on the guitar, and Lord, for this whole congregation, bless every single one of them. Lord, I claim every single boy and every single girl
representative for this house, those that's not even under this roof, but represented in this meeting, I claim them. I ask that the blood of Jesus Christ go between them and the enemy. Lord, that you'll speak to them and they'll everyone get saved. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen. God bless you. Hope you forgive me for getting a bit excited this morning, but God bless you.
Can we try and sing that hymn, I Have a Shepherd, one I love so well. How he had loved me, tongue can never tell. Just as we were talking about the I Ams. It's great to have a shepherd. Too much. It is hard time when people don't speak well of you, but don't expect it, you know, because it's not going to happen, especially with people in high up religious circles. They're not your friend. You know, in Jesus' day, I was just thinking about it, as Pastor was saying, you know, the Pharisees were super religious, and there wasn't a thing about Moses they didn't know, but they were that infatuated with Moses. They couldn't see who Moses was pointing to. But you know, there was one or two breakaways from them. There was one or two breakaways. Nicodemus was one of them, wasn't he? And he come to know the Lord. And also there was a man, Joseph of Arimathea,
amen,
who craved the body of Jesus. He was a breakaway. He wasn't popular among the Sanhedrin or the Pharisees. But praise God, God can bring you out of religious situations and cults or whatever it may be. But all you've got to do is look to Jesus, praise God. And of our quest to sing that hymn, look and live, look to Jesus now and live. You know, there's no life to look on anything else, only Jesus, the only thing you can look up. We're going to sing this and we might try and sing then that other one. Oh, but what key are we in? I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. Praise God.
I have a shepherd. the shepherd.